Welcome to this Market Commentator podcast. My name is Ryk van Niekerk, and in this weekly podcast, I speak to leading investment professionals. And my guest this week is Murray Winkler. He is the co-founder and a portfolio manager at Laurium Capital. Murray, welcome to the show. Let's kick off with local markets that seems to be overcome by positive investor confidence, especially the last few months. And in February alone, I think the JSE has run by around 5%, and that is despite a stronger rand. How do you read the current market?
Hi, Rick. Thanks. Perhaps first, just to start, I mean, the implications of what's going on globally is sort of the starting point for our market. And I think we saw in January very strong markets, PMIs, very strong revisions in global growth upwards, and earnings growth being steadily revised up for a lot of the developed markets in particular. So a lot of bullishness globally. Now, that was short-lived because end of January we saw a little bit of pressure, the VIX spiked, and a little bit more concern coming into markets, and we had almost a 10% pullback. So we followed along with that. Global commodities doing very well, which drives our markets, and the fact that more than 60% of our market is linked to international shares. It did offset the currency. We ran strongly, and our domestics also performed quite well. But obviously, at the moment, everyone is pretty upbeat, SA Inc. Emerging markets are doing well. Plus, we ourselves are the rand strengthening a lot more than emerging markets. Clearly, for the first time in a long time, I think everyone we talk to, South Africans, are feeling very upbeat in the changes that are going on with Cyril having come in and Zuma having been displaced. And I think that momentum is still likely to continue. So if we look for, global growth, well, local growth now is probably revisions upwards. We think we could get close to 2% possibly this year, somewhere between 1.5 and 2. And next year we could get to around, if global markets, global economies still keep going okay, commodities, we could probably get to 3%. So we are, and then interest rates drop by 50 basis points. So that's so cyclically we're coming off a low, and that's very positive for our domestic stocks. And with the changes here as well, the international investors, which are sort of probably about 40%, 45% of our market of flows, pretty upbeat on the outlook for South Africa. So it all looks pretty positive. Our market year to date actually is down 2% as this morning. So everything rallied quite strongly. And then we've had a bit of a pullback in some of the Naspers, obviously, in our market, some of the Rand hedges. But the domestic stocks have done very well. So if you look sort of year-to-date, it's a very short year-to-date. It's sort of coming up for 2 months. But your banks are up on average between 10 and 15%, including Capitec. Your cyclical retailers, which are your Truers, your Fashinis, they're also up about 15% or so. So it's really SA Inc. that looks pretty attractive, and more the cyclical counters, early stage cycle stocks that have moved quite nicely.
Almost unbelievable how the sentiment has changed so quickly, just because we have a new president. For example, the capital market, the R186, is currently trading at just above 8%, while in December last year it was 9.4%. That is a significant strengthening, despite a downgrade still remaining on the horizon.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think December, the ANC elections in September, it was very much on a nice edge, and we can see the results. It was touch and go. And I think the fact that Cyril got in was a very big relief for business in particular. And there were still some concerns going into early this year that, hang on, how long is Zuma going to be here? Is he still going to be able to get him out and make changes? So still a lot of uncertainty. And I think as things have unfolded, obviously, Cyril's come out on top. He's made some decisive moves. The budget was pretty good on Wednesday. The fact that they were able to take the tough decisions on putting that through and cutting expenditure, gross debt sort of coming down from what was thought before, that's all quite positive. And I think that, I mean, if we're looking from our perspective, beginning of the year, we thought there's probably a two-thirds chance that Moody's would downgrade us in the first half of this year. Right now, with what's happened in our post-budget, we'd say there's sort of probably less than 20% chance that we get downgraded. Let's hope we're right, forecasting these things. We know we're in a hiding to nothing. So I think in that the market, definitely most people feel we don't get downgraded. So you don't have the bond outflows going out of the Whitby index. And if we don't get downgraded and the cabinet changes that happen in the next week, some key positions, I think that we could still see the currency strengthen a bit from here, and domestics could still rally quite nicely. And then I hear that there's likely to be a roadshow with Cyril, some government, some of the government and business doing the roadshow in mid-March as well, internationally, which I think will be, if it's a new cabinet, a couple of those people go, I think it would be very bullish having them out there with some of the changes. So for now, we still think, we do believe there's still further momentum on probably on currency, even it seems quite overbought, and domestics still look pretty good, I think, over the next 18 months. And that's where in our portfolio positioning, we do have, from mid-December, we've actually increased quite a lot into domestic counters.
But if you're right, and we do see accelerated growth of around 2% this year and even more next year, and we get the political stability Cyril has brought to South Africa, do you think the prospect of Fitch and Standard & Poor's upgrading South Africa back to an investment grade is on the short-term cards?
I don't think so. Once you've made the move, you don't like to change big moves like that in a hurry. So I think they'll wait and see. So for now, in the short term, I think there's very positive momentum, and I think Cyril will continue with that. And I think Moody's are now ahead of the game, so they can run with that and just see what happens, give it another 6 months or more. I think sort of towards you get the end of the year, maybe that's when you start reviewing things and say, okay, now this is what Cyril said they're going to do. This is what he's done. And what are we looking at like into next year? So, no, I'd put very little chance that they will change their views for some time.
Let's just look at the international markets, especially the U.S. market seemed to be, as you said earlier, there was a pullback late in January. But it seems to have forgotten that, and it's all systems go again. How do you read this market, and is it sustainable?
Yeah, look, we've had a very second longest bull market in the U.S., so we are getting into extended time, almost into injury time. So it is very late cycle. And typically in economic cycles, in markets, your vol tends to increase a bit. So we've had very low vol. So vol's gone up. I think if you look at global growth this year, it still looks like it could be somewhere let's say just slightly below 4%, and possibly next year a similar rate, somewhere between 3.5 to 8 next year. So you still seem to have 2 years of very strong growth, which it's still positive for markets, but the valuations, if you look at the S&P, which is the broadest index and sort of 45% of the overall world markets, I mean, that's trading now on about a 16.5 sort of one-year forward multiple, strong earnings growth. So historically, it's traded on a forward multiple about 14 times. So it is expensive, and we're getting into the late cycle. So we still think you get modest returns from the U.S. this year, still with good global growth next year. But a lot of it depends on how quickly the 10-year bond in the States goes up. So it has popped its head up quite a bit to around 3. And if it remains at around these levels, short rates up another 3 hikes in the States this year, we're probably still okay. So it's probably only when we get up to 3.5% or higher that really markets will probably having a little bit more difficulty. And your discount rates for the long-duration stocks, your discount rate moves up, and long duration stocks tend to come under a bit more pressure.
Let's talk about your the Laurium Flexible Prescient Fund. It's your equity fund. You manage this fund with Gavin Forwerk. And just looking at your top 10 equity holdings, Naspers at the top, nearly 10% of the portfolio. It is underweight compared to the ALSI, but you're still a firm believer in Naspers.
Yes, we do. I mean, look, Tencent's an amazing business, and I think the longer-term growth prospects look very good. Now, obviously, there are always risks on any share. The valuations for that stock are full, sort of 35 times one-year forward multiples, but growing probably at 30% plus the next 2 to 3 years quite comfortably in dollar terms. But highly rated stocks, you always hiccups. Now, if you buy Naspers is trading at a very big discount to some of the parts. It's about 42% discount. So if you buy Naspers and you just take their holding in Tencent, you're effectively getting quite extreme. You're getting 147% of the value of Naspers if you were to just unbundle that the Tencent bit. and then everything else was for free. You'd get multi-choice for free, you'd get Mail.ru for free, plus some of the other interests. So there is a very big margin of safety we see in Naspers because that discount is so big. We think eventually in time, and it doesn't look like anytime soon, pressure would be brought to bear that they would have to do something about that discount.
Well, that pressure is significant. We've seen several international fund managers stating publicly that they would like to see Naspers unbundle its 10 cent share to reduce that 42% discount.
Yes, there is. But I think often I'm not so sure if anything's going to happen in the near term. What is happening is the discount has been getting wider and wider. And the more it gets, the wider it gets, I think the more pressure does build. So eventually, I think they will have to do something. Sort of deciding, my guess is it's going to take a lot longer than most people think. Yeah. But we hope we'd be surprised, but we don't think so.
There are also several financial counters in the top 10 equity holdings. Rand mentioned Bank Holdings, Barclays Africa, Old Mutual. Are you bullish on the financials in South Africa for the near future?
Yeah, so again, banks tend to be early cycle performers. And whilst at the moment their earnings growth, I guess, varies from anywhere from 2%, probably in the case of Nedbank for this coming year now, to probably 12% in Standard Bank, we think that credit extension will pick up quite a bit into next year. Growth will get back up towards close to double digits by the time we get to sort of second half of next year. And if we look at the valuations, FirstRand is expensive. It's on a forward multiple of 16 times, which is the highest forward multiple it's traded on in 10 years. So that's pretty expensive. And the way we're playing that is through RMH, the holding company, which is now trading at a 15% discount to FirstRand. Now, historically, it's traded at about a 4%, 5% discount. So you've got a 10% extra sort of margin of safety. And the reason that discount has widened, we think, is foreigners have been going for FirstRand where there's a lot more liquidity. So they go for liquidity. And that's why you've been a bit of an opportunity in RMH rather to take your exposure to the group. Then the one that looks still very good to us and is our biggest bank position is still Barclays. Barclays is on just over a 10 times forward multiple. And so it's one of the cheapest banks still, and a modest earnings growth, probably 4-5% this year, and the following year maybe it's up towards somewhere between 5 and 10. But valuation-wise, it looks very attractive. So I think if we still see bond yields down a bit further and currency a little bit stronger, these banks still have got a bit more upside. And those are the stocks that the foreigners, and this, we do believe a lot of global macro funds have still not come into SA. And with the positive story, we'll still see some flows coming into our domestic stocks. So the banks are a big component of that for us. Mm. And they've done quite nicely this year, I must say. Mm.
Laurium is also one of the leading hedge fund players in South Africa. Do you also do research into firms to find financial skeletons in their closets, then short the share and leak the report to the media to spook the market, make a lot of money? Because that seems to be currently a new favorite sport in South Africa.
No, we definitely don't partake in that practice. We obviously do all our own internal research and trying to find companies overvalued and undervalued. And then the ones that are overvalued, we're going to be underweight in our long-only funds and we'd short them in our hedge funds. So we're doing that. And obviously there's been a lot of noise around the Viceroy report, which spooked the market. That was in fact released on the day that Marcus Joost had already resigned and the stock was down 60% on the day. So they had some interesting points in that report, but a lot of the fall in Steinhoff really came from prior to the report released. Then after that, I think the public seemed to gathered a lot more credence, and then there were thoughts about which report was coming out, which of the companies could be under pressure, and there were a lot of speculation it could be a Discovery, Resilient Group, and Aspen, and all those stocks came under a lot of pressure. People were worried after being caught in Steinhoff that, gee, we don't want to get caught in something else. So I think there's way too much credence put on the one report.
Yeah.
And then they came out and they had a view on Capitec. On Capitec, while the valuations have been very full, I think that the report that they put out was it had a lot of factual inaccurate facts on it. So I think it did destroy a bit of credibility on
But Murray, can I come in here? You said it spooked the public, but it's not retail investors, I think, that reacted or overreacted, or they were not the only ones. There were many professional investors who also reacted on those reports and possibly deviated from a long-term strategy.
You are right there. Yes, that's true. I think definitely some managers sort of clearly didn't want to get caught in another situation, and there was a bit of selling of certain stocks linked to the report. So that absolutely did happen with some managers doing that.
If you look at long reports, reports that are favorable towards certain companies, are there significant differences between those reports and, reports the Viceroy and 361 and some others put out recently highlighting problems within those companies, indicating that the share prices might, fall? You've been in the game for a long time. Are there differences in the quality of the research and the way they are presented?
Look, brokers do reports all the time. They're positive, they're negative on certain stocks. I mean, I guess they need to be careful what you say, and you need to be very sure of your facts. So management's, I mean, when you put out stocks and you're bullish on a company, that all seems fine. When you come out, you're negative on a company, people don't like it. Some management teams get quite a bit upset about it. Some other management teams just understand. If it's on a valuation basis, that they often don't have any problem. I think if we look in the Viceroy report that came out, there was some quite strong recommendation what basically Saab should do, FSB. I mean, that in my view is pretty irresponsible and no justification at all. 361 report that sort of got came out with it was internal document and sort of came out. I think that and we did happen to see a copy of that. It was a pretty detailed report, and I think a lot of the stuff that came out there looked, it had been researched pretty well. Whether it was meant to come out or not, I don't know. But clearly, I think the Resilient Group, definitely the valuations for a long time, it has been extremely overvalued. So that's without a doubt, trading at very big premiums. And so in our view, it has been very overvalued. But obviously, there are investigations going on now, and I guess we've got to wait and see what comes out of that. But it was quite a detailed report, and I think they seem to back up the facts pretty well.
That was Murray Winkler. He is a co-founder and a portfolio manager at Laurium Capital.